Morning. Thank you very much for coming, and may our learning be a merit. Lili Nishmas, Katie Fischel, Meira Chaya, Nachama Bracha, Lea Shalom, Bas David Mordechai. We are about to complete Perek Reishis Hagez, the chapter of Masechet Chulin that deals with the mitzvah to give wool to the Kohen. Kohen has to be supported by the community. Hashem did not give the Kohen a piece of land. Hashem doesn't give to the Kohen the normal means of livelihood that everyone else has. So it's the responsibility of the community to take care of the Kohen and to provide for him. We have to give to the Kohen. We have to give to the Kohen some wheat. That's truma, so he'll have bread. The main part of what people eat is bread. So the Kohen gets wheat. That's the truma. That's the bread of the Kohen. The Kohen gets meat, as we learned in last parak. Zroa l'chayayim v'keva, the three gifts. The right foreleg, the second stomach, and the cheeks. That's given to the Kohen, so he has some meat that he can take. He can live with. What's he going to do for clothing? So what he's going to do for clothing is that Hashem said that when you shear wool, you have to give some of the wool to the Kohen. How much? So our Mishnah said, you get, if you're shearing five sheep, and you're producing out of those five sheep a mana and a half, then you give to the Kohen. Another opinion, we saw in the Gemara, maybe it's less than a mana and a half even. Maybe it's kolshu. The Chacham said kolshu. All right, so we're talking about different opinions about how much wool, were it to be shorn, do you have to give from it to the Kohen. So let's start again. Kuf, Lamed, Zayin, Amud, Beis. The second to the last line. The Gemara had said that Rabbi Yochanan's, when Rabdimi came, he said about Reishis Hagez, Rav said, B'shishim. Why don't we start from there? So six lines, five lines up from the bottom. Ki asa Ravdimi. When Ravdimi came to Bavel from Israel, Amar, he said like this, Reishis Hagez, in terms of giving the wool to the Kohen. So here are the different opinions. Rav Amar B'shishim. Rav said, if the five sheep are producing 60 slaim worth of wool, and you give 1/60th to the Kohen. And Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, said to Rabbi Yanai, B'sheish. According to Rabbi Yochanan's view of Rabbi Yanai, is that if the sheep produce 6 slaim, then you give to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Amar Le Abai, Le Rav Dimi, Abai said to Rav Dimi, An Chatlan Chaga. You have resolved through your words, you resolved for us one question. V'akshat l'anachada, but you've created for us a different question. Bishma d'Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha. Okay, you've resolved the contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. We've heard that Rabbi Yochanan said it's 60. And earlier, Rabbi Yochanan said it was 6. So now we have the answer. Hadidei Adi Rabbi, his own opinion is that it's 6 slayim. I'm sorry, the opinion of his Rabbi is that it's 6. His own opinion is that it's 60. Only if the amount of wool was 60, then you give from it, Reishis Hagez. You have to give Reishis Hagez. El Adi Rav Kasha. But Rav, there's a problem now. Rav says here it's 60. But we said Rav said it was a man and a half. So Amai Rav Manu Pras. Rav is the one who says that if you short wool of a man and a half, then you give. So a man and a half, as we said, is 37 and a half slime. Because a man is 25 slime. It's not 60 slime. Answer the Gemara, de Rav Nami Lokasha. Rav is not contradicting Rav. My man at the Kamar, when Rav says a man, it doesn't mean a normal size man of 25 slayim, which would then mean a man and a half is 37 and a half slayim, but rather ben arbaim slayim. Rav's man itself weighed 40 slayim. So a man and a half is 40 plus a half of 40. So what's 40 plus a half of 40? 60. The Havalei B'Shishim. So then it is a total of 60. So Rav is consistent. Rav is consistent. If the amount of wool shorn off the sheep is 60 slayim, then you have to give from that wool to the Kohen, Reishis HaGez. Okay, we are now today's daf, Kuf Lamed Ches, Amud Aleph.
So the 10% doesn't work always here.
Here it's not 10%. No, 10% is Maaser Rishon to the Levi. Maaser Sheni, another 10% is taken to be eaten in Yerushalayim in a state of purity. On year 3 and in year 6 of the Shemitah cycle, instead of Maaser Sheni, it's Maaser Ani, 10% given to the poor. But the Kohanim never get 10%. Well, they do. They get from Maaser Rishon to Mas Maaser. So that's 10% of the Maaser Rishon. But the Kohanim, as we said before, if it's Doraisa, they'll get 2.5%, we learned yesterday. If it's from a material that's only Chayiv Midrabanan, then they get 1.5%. A little bit more, you know, 1/60. And we're saying now, in terms of the wool, they're getting 1/60 of the wool.
But Rabbi, how about the rest of the clothing? Everything cannot be made out of wool, you know. Socks, shirt, this.
Maybe they'd have to sell the wool.
They sell the wool to buy those things.
Yeah, okay. They could use the wool. So now they're going to ask the question. Our Mishnah mentioned the phrase manu pras. According to Rav, what is manu pras? How much total is that? What we were saying now, according to Rav, how many slime is money? 60, exactly. The money is 40 slime. And then in addition to the 40 slime, then you have another. The money is 40 slime, right? So we said that's the view of Rav. So Gemara asks, the Tani Tana, when the Tanaim speak in Mishnayos and Brisos, money ben arbaim slime, when they say the term mana, they mean something which weighs 40 slime? Don't they always mean that it weighs 25 slime? So Mara says, no, sometimes they mean, as we are arguing for Rav, we'll find in other Mishnayot also that when the Tana used the term mana, he meant 40 slime, something which weighs 40 slime. We do find it. And that's as we have in the following. Vatanya, as we learned in Abraisa, it's a Tosefta. In Masechet Kalim. Masechet Kalim is one of the biggest Masechtos in Shas. It's 30 chapters, like Ohalos is 30 chapters, and really Nezikin was 30 chapters. There are 30 chapters of Mishnayot of Masechet Kalim. And the laws of Masechet Kalim are all the laws of different types of utensils and becoming impure or becoming pure. So different utensils, at what point is the utensil finished, that it's able to become impure? At what point is the utensil broken, so that if it was impure, it now became pure by being broken, then it could be remade? That's what Masechet Kalim is all about. So says the Gemara here. Yes, we learned it in Masechet Kalim. What's not? We learned it in Masechet Kalim. Chemes Chadasha. So Chemes Chadasha means a new leather pouch, yeah. No. We're gonna see. The Gemara's gonna have a discussion what it's for. But let's say that a new leather pouch. Afal pisha mekabelas rimonim. So the law is like this: if you have a utensil and the utensil becomes impure, let's say you have a basket, and the basket becomes impure. So if you don't want to put it into the mikvah and you want to make it pure, you can break it from being a basket. Once you break it, now it's nothing. Then when you remake it, it's now pure. It's a new thing. At what point is a basket considered broken? A basket is considered broken when it's broken so much that it couldn't even hold pomegranates. That's called motzi rimon. If you'd have pomegranates, it'd fall out because the holes are so big. Because if it's big enough that olives would fall out and grapes would fall out and figs would fall out, but pomegranates wouldn't fall out, you can always repurpose the basket. Instead of using the basket for grapes and olives, now use it for pomegranates. But if it has such holes, the holes are so big, that even the pomegranates fall out, then the basket is unusable, and then it is no longer tummy. So now the Mishnah is going to say that there's a difference between this pouch which was finished, it was fully sewn, and then it sprung a big hole, versus a pouch that has not yet been fully finished, and as you're making it, you haven't yet closed it all up, and there is a hole here that would, you know, pomegranates couldn't fall out, but let's say olives could fall out. So this is how it goes. Let's go to the Mishnah. Chemes chadasha. If you're making a new pouch, you haven't yet finished it, it was never finished, and you're sewing it up to close it, and you've closed most of it, so much so that a pomegranate now won't fall out of it. But an olive would still fall out of it. But a pomegranate wouldn't fall out of it. Afal pisha mekabelas rimonim, even though it's closed enough to hold pomegranates, tahora, it's still pure. Because here you're trying to make it a kli. To make it a kli, you have to make it the way you wanted it. You didn't make it fully, it's not a kli yet, it's still tahor. But if it's the other way, tafra, you made it a kli, you made a utensil, you fully sewed it up. And now vinikra, now it has a hole. So now if the hole is big so that olives fall out but pomegranates stay in, it's tummy. It doesn't become tar. Only shiura kimotzi rimonim. Its measure would be if you have a hole big enough that even the pomegranates fall out, then it becomes tar. However, Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov, says pouches of leather are not used for fruit. What are they used for? They're used to transport spools of thread. So since they're used to transport spools of thread, it's not that it has to have a hole big enough, kimotzi rimon, big enough for a pomegranate to fall through. It's kipakayo shel shesi. It's like the spools of thread of the vertical thread. I forget always, warp and the woof. This is which one?
Warp.
This is the warp threads. There's the warp threads and the woof threads. There's the threads that are thrown across and the threads that are going up and down in the loom. So this is the threads of the
warp.
That's the one that goes across, right? There's this we call it the heddle, right? The heddle that you throw it across the loom. So those threads, if you have a spoolful of those threads and they would fall through such a hole, then it has lost its impurity. But if the hole is not big enough, the hole is smaller, and a spoolful of warp thread would get stuck, then it's still a utensil, and it stays impure. Because he says that leather bags aren't used for fruits. Baskets are used for fruits, so in baskets, the hole has to be big enough for a pomegranate to fall through. And a leather bag, the hole has to be big enough for Pekiyo shel shesi. Now, how much is that? So he listened to the Mishnah. This is why we quoted this whole Mishnah. Achas me'arba. We're talking about a spoolful of thread that was one of a pair of four spools for a measure. Ben Arbaim Slayim, which weighs 40 Slayim. So we're talking about a spoolful of warp thread that weighs 10 Slayim. That's how big the spoolful is. If such a large spoolful could fall through the hole in the leather container, that's the type of hole that destroys the term kli, the term vessel, and would make the leather container pure. But why do we quote this? Because what do you see? The Mishnah was giving us a measurement. It was talking about a maneh. And it defines it. It's a mana of arbaim slayim. So just like in Kalim when the Mishnah says mana, it can mean arbaim slayim. Rav says that back here in Maseches Chulin, when it says mana, it means arbaim slayim, 40 slayim. So when the Mishnah said you have to have a mana upras, a mana and a half, it means 40 and a half of 40 of wool. So Rav can say that our Mishnah is saying if you have 60 slayim of wool, then you have to give 1/60 to the Kohen as Reishis HaGez. Yeah, question.
Rabbi, the basket has to have a hole that size?
Then it becomes pure.
So that basket is not a basket anymore.
That's why it becomes pure. That's the point.
They destroyed it. Patch it up again
Patching it up is considered a remaking, a new making. Then it's pure. The old basket is gone. This is a new basket.
So like, let's say they take a circle out. It becomes pure, and then they put another circle, and they,
Yeah, that's the topic of Maseches Kalim, exactly. Okay. Now you break utensils, and you repair utensils. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "V'kama nosin lo, how much wool do you give to the Kohen?" So the Mishnah said you give to him the weight of 5 slaim in Judea, which is 10 slaim in the Galilee. And then the Mishnah said, Meluban, clean wool, the lothsoi, not wool that has all sorts of excrement and dirt in it. Tanya, we lived in the Brisa, Loshi, Lablenu, Vietnanulo. It doesn't mean that you, the rancher who is harvesting the wool, are obligated to clean the wool and give clean wool to the Kohen. That's not what's going on. Eloshi, Lablenu, Kohen. You just can give wool and let the Kohen clean it. That's fine, as long as the amount you gave him was that were he to clean it, Yamod al Chamesh Slayim, he would end up with 5 Slayim worth of clean wool. And, the Mishnah explains, why is that the amount? Kedei lasos beged katan, so that he can make out of the wool a small garment. Minani mili, how do we know that you have to give him enough wool to make at least a small garment? I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I'm Arkar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says it's in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says about the Kohanim, Kibo bachar Hashem Elokecha mikol shvatecha, for in him God your Lord has chosen from all your tribes, lamod l'shares, to stand and do service, davar shehu roi l'sheres, you have to give him something which is enough to do service with. So you have to give him wool, which would be enough wool for a small Kohen garment. Now the Kohen garments were made of kilayim. They were made of the mixture of wool and linen. And the smallest Kohen garment was the belt, the avnet. So apparently the Gemara is saying, since we know lamod l'shares, he stands to do service, that's why he has his privileges. Okay, so one of the privileges is, one of the garments he needs is the belt. So you have to give him enough wool so he could make the belt out of it. So that is 5 slaim of wool.
So Rabbi, if this is a gift that you give, that you can choose to give to an individual Kohen,
yes,
right? So do you have to give the amount necessary for that particular Kohen?
No.
You guys make it a fat Kohen, skinny Kohen.
Yeah, this is the basic amount. Okay. Now, mind you, what is this small garment that apparently... What is the small garment that 5 slaim of wool are enough for? Avnet, the belt. So one second, if you're saying it's based on the verse, Lamud l'shares, maybe you should have to give to the Kohen enough wool to make a much bigger garment, the me'il. Eim me'il. Maybe say it's the me'il, the robe of the Kohen Gadol. Well, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. We have a rule. The rule is, if you go for too much, you might end up with nothing. If you go for less, then you're always safe. Because even if you should have taken more, well, the less was included in the more. This is always a rule. So you never gain by going for too much. So that's a rule also of interpreting a drasha. We could say lamod l'shares means the big garment. We could say lamod l'shares means the small garment. Let's be safe. Let's take the small garment. I've heard this phrase. People say that on Wall Street, right? They say bears make money, bulls make money, but pigs get slaughtered. Right? So it never works when you go for too much. You always have to have less.
In Persian, it says when you walk backwards on the roof, one more territory, you got to fall off on the other side. You get nothing.
Okay, there you go. Very good. Be'ema kippa shel tzemer. So one second, why do you say that the amount of wool is the amount needed for an avnet? Let's say it's the amount needed for the little cap that goes on the Kohen Gadol's head to help him with the tzitz, with the headband. It was a little cap of wool on the head of the Kohen Gadol. And on that cap was the tzitz. To fulfill the verse, put the tzitz on threads that are pure blue. Amar Kra, the answer is, because the verse says, in that verse, the verse was, it said, again, I'll read the verse. Kivo b'char Hashem Elokecha mikol shvatecha lamod l'shares b'shem Hashem. For in him God has chosen from all your tribes to stand and serve in the name of God. Huvanav Kalayamin, he and his sons all day. So since it says Huvanav, he and his sons, Zavrashaval Aaron Levana, something which is true about both him and his sons, the Kippah Shel Tzemer, that was only for the Kohen Gadol, because the regular Kohanim don't wear a tzitz. So that's what it can't be referring to. It has to be referring to the Avnet, which is true both about Huvanav, both about him and his sons. So when I said, let's know, Avnet Nami Lo Shavi. But the Avnet is not the same between the Kohen Gadol and his sons. Hani Chalaman Damar, this will work according to the opinion, Avneto Shel Kohen Gadol Lo Zeh, Avneto Shel Kohen Het Yod Shapi. That the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol was not like the Avnet of a regular Kohen. Elman Damar Zeh, Avneto Shel Kohen Het Yod. But if you're going to say it's the same thing as the Avnet of the Kohen Hedyot, so if it's the same thing of the Kohen Hedyot, in other words, and if the Kohen Gadol wears an Avnet of woolen linen and the Hedyot wears an Avnet of woolen linen, that's fine. Elman, but according to the opinion, Zeh Avnet Shel Kohen Hedyot, that the Avnet of Kohen Gadol, which is just linen on Yom Kippur, that's the Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot. So where do you see an Avnet being wool for both the Kohen Gadol and for the Hedyot?
Rabbi, the Kohen Gadol could wear the wool and linen, right?
What? One second. The Kohen Gadol has wool and linen, but the Kohen Hedyot, according to this opinion, is just the belt is just linen. So the Kohen Gadol's Avnet, the Kohen Gadol's belt throughout the year is wool and linen. The Kohen Hedyot's belt, according to this, that the Kohen Hedyot's belt is only just linen, so Michael and Mame, they're not the same thing. The answer is no, but shame Avnet Ba'olam, but they both have the same utensil, they both have the same garment. One has the garment in Avnet of wool and linen, and the other one has an Avnet of just linen. Okay, but they still both have the garment of Avnet. So that's why it's a garment which is common to Hu'uvanav, to him and his sons. Therefore, since in the Kohen Gadol's Avnet, all you would need is 5 slayim of wool to make it, that's the amount of Reishis Hagez, of Lamud L'Shares, enough that he could make something for service out of it. So therefore, it has to be 5 slayim of Reishis Hagez.
The items of his clothing, they were either linen or wool.
No, some of them were mixtures.
So like the belt could be made out of linen
the
and
melt, wood together? The belt during the week was a mixture, yeah.
With mixture? Uh-huh.
Yeah. The belt of Yom Kippur was all linen, because Yom Kippur was all linen.
How about, let's say, his uniform, the same thing, mixture, too?
Yeah, some of them were mixtures, yeah. Oh. All right, so now the Mishnah deals with a person who sells the wool. So let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if we go back to the Mishnah of Kuf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, the Mishnah said, Lo hispik litno lo ad shetzavo pater. If before he gave the wool to the Kohen, he painted it, he doesn't have to give it. Libno velo tzavo, if he whitened it, but he didn't paint it, chayiv, he has to give it to the Kohen. Then the Mishnah says, Alokeach gez tzono shalovit kochavim. If I buy the wool off of the sheep of a Gentile, the sheep still belongs to the Gentile. It's not gez tzonecha, the shearings of your sheep. It's his sheep. I just bought his wool. Then Pater Mishnah says, I don't have to give part of it to the Kohen. Halokeach gez tzono shal chaveiro. Let's say, though, I'm buying the wool of my friend's sheep. So now it depends. Im shir amocher, if the seller didn't sell all of it, he left some of the wool for himself. Chayiv, then the seller needs to give the Reishis Hagez. Lo shir, but then let's say he sold all of the wool to me, so then alokeach chayiv, I have to give the Reishis Hagez. Hayu lo shnei minim, if there are two types, shchufos ulevanos, brown sheep and white sheep, machar lo shchufos, then if the seller sold to me the brown ones, avolo levanos, not the white ones, he sold me the zechar, the male ones, avolo nekevos, not the female ones, Zanosin La'atzmo, I give from what I got, from the brown or from the males. Zanosin La'atzmo, he gives from what he kept, from the white or from the female. Okay, that was the Mishnah. So now the Gemara discusses that. Lo hispik, so the Mishnah says, itmar we learned. What about the following case? Gazas. Let's say I have five sheep. I shear the wool of my sheep. And right after I shear the wool of one sheep, umachar, I sold that sheep and wool. Then I shear a second sheep, and I sell that. Then a third, and I sell that. A fourth, and I sell that. A fifth, and I sell that. So now, am I obligated or not? Rav Chisda Amar Chayiv, I still have to give Reishis Hagez. Rav Nassim Bar Hoshaya, Amar Patra. Rav Nassim Bar Hoshaya says I'm exempt. Rav Chisda Amar Chayiv, Rav Chisda says I'm Chayiv Dog Gazas, because I cut the wool of five sheep. So even though by the time I got the pile together, at that point I only own one sheep, but so what? Each time I cut a sheep that I owned. I'm exempt. At the time when we get to the full amount, but at that time it has to be yours, and it wasn't mine. And it wasn't mine. Okay, that's an argument. Lahalacha, we pass on like Rav Chisda. You are obligated. It was his.
That this is the way to get out. Just send it one by one.
No, we don't pass in that way. We say you do have to pay.
You all have to pay.
Yeah.
Now, how about if they dye the wool, they don't have to give.
Then they don't have to give.
So how about if the Kohen says, well, I like the color you may dye it.
Too late.
So he have to give it to him?
No, once he dyed it, he stole it.
Stole it.
So now we're looking at Mishnah. Halokeach gez tzono shelo betkocham. Our Mishnah says if somebody buys the wool off of the sheep of a Gentile, he doesn't buy the sheep. The sheep still belongs to the Gentile. But I bought the right to take the wool. So patra mereishis hagez, I'm exempt from mereishis hagez because it's not gez tzonacha. Hatzono ligzos. But if I would buy the sheep in order to cut the wool, chayiv, then I would be obligated because then it is gez tzonacha. Ask the Gemara, my, but why? Kol chad v'chad, basar giza, nafkale mirshu say. Think about what I did. I said, I bought the sheep for the wool. But once I cut the wool, then I no longer have the sheep. Then the sheep goes back to him. So why should I be chayiv? Must be Rav Chisda's right. So it's a disproof of Rav Nassim Bar Hoshaya. Because Rav Nassim Bar Hoshaya says that at the time that you have the pile of the five shearings, it all has to be yours. But by the time I have the pile, it's not mine. Because at that point, the sheep already went back to the owner, to the guy. Tirkum Rav Chisda, Liba Rav Nassim Bar Hoshaya, Rav Chisda, the son of, said it according to Rav Nassim Bar Hoshaya, the way to read the Mishnah is, if I just buy this, the wool, then of course it's not obligated to reach the guest. Implying something else would be obligated. What would be obligated? Kugon Shehiknan Lo, Kosh Lo Shem Yom. If I were to say to the Gentile, I'll buy the sheep of yours to cut the wool, and I'll hold on to the sheep for 30 days. So then by the time I get the pile of the five shearings, I'm still owning the sheep. And that's when I would be obligated.
So if you flip the deal, you're not obligated. You know, like buy from this guy and sell it to this guy right away.
According to Rav Nassim Bar Hoshaya, you're not. We don't agree with that. So that's an argument. All right. Then the Mishnah says, Halokeach gez tzono shel chaveiro. If I'm buying the shearing of wool from my friend, so then it depends. If he left some of the wool for himself, he has to give reishis hagez. If I got all of the wool, then I need to give reishis hagez. Man tana, who's the tana de'echad ikas shiura gabe mocher, that if the seller left some for himself, basar mocher azlina, so then the seller needs to give all of the gifts. Rav Chisda said, Rabbi Yehuda, it's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. If somebody is selling the trunks of trees in his field, I'm selling trees that are in my field to my friend. No, Saint Peah, Kolechad V'Echad. So the buyer, my friend, now has to give a peah, has to give a corner of each tree to the poor, leave a corner to the poor. He doesn't own the field. He just owns the trees. So out of each tree, he needs to give a pay. Amrav Yudavida said, Hey, Masai, when does he have to give pay out of each tree? Bizman Shloshir Baal Asad. If I, the owner of the field, haven't left any of the trees to myself, I will shir Baal Asad. If I, the owner of the field, have left some of the trees to myself, let's say I left one tree to myself. So then I need to get, then when I'm giving a payah of the field, it's a field mostly of grain. When I'm giving a payah of the field of the grain, that exempted the whole field. And that would exempt even the trees that he bought. Then no sin pay ala kol. The pay that I give works for everything. So what do you see? That once I left some of the trees for myself, then I have to give, and I give for it all. So the same thing is here in regards to the wool. If the seller left some of the wool for himself, he gives the reish sagaz for it all. Amalei Rava, Rava said to him, v'amaru d'amar, but you, the master of Chizda, are the one who says, v'hush d'itchil balasada liktzor, that this is only true when the owner of the field, the owner of the wheat in the field, has already started harvesting. So since I've already started harvesting, I'm obligated in peya, and therefore I leave the peya, it works for everything. But it sounds like if I didn't start, then not. If you're going to tell me, say the case of the Mishnah is when the seller started shearing the wool. But no, Bishlam Ahasam, I understand over there it says, and when you will harvest your harvest, leave a corner. Once you start harvesting the wheat, you have to leave a corner of the whole field. But over here, when you start shearing, you're not obligated in the entire flock. It's only when you shear the whole flock that you're obligated. Ela my Rava, so Rava said, the reason is like this.
Because there's a minimum amount before you get obligated. Is that why you have to wait till you've done your whole flock?
I think it's also from the language of the Pasuk.
I think it's a loophole not to do it.
So, Ella, my Rava, rather Rava said, Hi Tanahu. It's the following Tana. It's not in the Mishnah. Amar lo mochar li b'nei me'ehal shel para. We learned this back in the last parak about Zor l'chayim v'kev. A guy who sells to a slaughterer, sell me the intestines of a cow, of this cow. V'haya ben matanos. That's okay. The intestines have, one of the things they have is the keva, the stomach. So nosan la kohen, the buyer has to give the keva to the kohen. Ve'imanaklam an adam, he can't go back and ask for a reduction of what he paid, because he knew when you're buying the intestines, you're buying something that you need to give away. Lakach miminu b'mishkal, but if I ask for a couple of pounds of meat, and he puts into those pounds of meat a stomach, again, nosan la kohen, I have to give it to the kohen. Ve'imanaklam an adam, but then I can subtract from what I paid him, or what I offered to pay him, because he wasn't entitled to give me that. Amma, what do you see? That a person doesn't have the ability to sell what's not his, the matzanos of the kahuna. He's not selling them. So we're going to say the same thing as over here with the sheep. Matzanos to kohen, lo mazben inish. A person's not selling what didn't belong to him. Hilkach, therefore, shir amocher, if the seller left for himself some of the shearings, mocher gayev, Mocher Chayev, the seller now is obligated to give the Reish Sagez. The buyer says to the seller, Matanos HaKohen Gabachi, you didn't sell the Matanos of the Kohen, because most people don't sell those things. They know it's not theirs, so it's still yours, you have to give it. However, if the seller sold everything, Lo Shi'er, he said, I'm selling to you everything, then Lo Keach Chayev. Then the buyer is obligated. Amalei mocher, because then the seller tells the buyer, Matana de Kohen lo zabinalach. It's true. The portion of the Kohen I didn't sell to you, but I gave you everything. So now, it's not mine anymore. So you're the one who has to deliver it to the Kohen, because you have some Kohen property in your hands. I never sold it. It's the Kohen stuff, so you need to give it. It's not that if a person buys all of the wool, then he's the one who's obligated. Really, the owner of the sheep was obligated. But the owner of the sheep never gave to him what he couldn't give, what he wasn't allowed to give. So he said, listen, You have all the wool, so you have to give from the wool the five slayim to the kohen, because I never sold it to you. It's always the kohen's property. So you give it to him. And that's what's going on in our Mishnah. If the seller has retained some of the wool, so then the buyer says, listen, you retained some of the wool. You're not selling to me what belongs to the kohen. So you give to the kohen what belongs to him with what you've retained. However, if the seller hasn't retained anything, so it's the same thing. The kohen hasn't lost his stuff because the seller hasn't sold what belongs to the kohen. But it's just the buyer is going to have the actual responsibility to hand it over to the kohen.
But why not have the same logic as with the meat, whereby if he bought the let's say the wool for X sheep, then the buyer, right, would have the obligation to give the wool to the kohen. But if he bought by the pound, right, why would he not then be able to deduct the same way we did with the case of?
Maybe he can. We didn't see that. We're not talking about that case of buying by the pound versus buying sheep. We're saying, though, how do we understand this Mishnah, that if the seller maintains some ownership, then the seller gives Reishis HaGez. If the buyer has full ownership, then the buyer gets Reishis HaGez. We're saying it's based on this idea that...
The amount that the seller has to keep, does that have to be an amount that is equal to or over to the amount of the gift, or can it be even a mashahu?
Couldn't be a mashahu, right? It would have to be.
So I'm saying if one retains like an irrelevant amount, but he retains an amount.
I think it's any amount. It's any amount. Then he's the one who has the responsibility to make the delivery.
Rabbi, is this from initial negotiation between buyer and seller? He says, are you going to pay the coin or I'm going to pay you the price? Right? And right there, resolve
right.
The problem.
Maybe they should have.
If he tells him, I'm buying everything from you, I'm selling everything, then nobody pays anything. That's like, because what happens is, the guy who's selling it, he's selling only...
If he says that he's selling more... Right.
The guy who's buying it doesn't own the sheep. So he ends up transferring all the wool, because when he's shearing it, it's not his sheep.
Right.
Because he's selling all the wool. That's the...
Right.
We have abundant the whole thing.
Yes. Okay, the next chapter. Hajin Allah Faz Hashem Reish Zagez Vahajin Chalan. All right, the next chapter deals with the famous mitzvah. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Another one? Another bird came? Wow. All right, well, let's see. We'll see what the halacha is here. The Torah says, Ki kare kan tzipor lefanecha, if you happen to meet a nest in front of you. So, Shiluach HaKen, the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird to then take the children. Noeg ba'aretz uvachutz la'aretz, it applies in the land of Israel. And outside the land of Israel, b'fnei ha'bayis, when we had a beis hamikdash, for shlo b'fnei ha'bayis, when we didn't have a beis hamikdash. B'chun, it applies to birds that are not holy. Avaloba mukdash, and it doesn't apply to birds that are holy. Chomer b'kisi adam shiluach haken. There are stringencies to the law of covering the blood of a bird than shiluach haken. Kisi adam noeg b'chayubo. When it comes to covering the blood, it applies to a wild animal as well as to a bird. B'mezuman u'b'sheinu mezuman. It applies to something which was prepared as well as something which was not prepared. However, shiluach haken eino noeg elo b'ov. Shiluach haken only applies to birds. Ve'eino noeg elo b'sheinu mezuman. It only applies to something you didn't prepare. Ezeu she'eino mezuman. What does it mean that it wasn't prepared? Kagon avazim v'tarnagolim. Let's say you have ducks or chickens. Shekinu b'pardes. They ran out of the house. They became wild. And they went into an orchard and they made a nest there. And they can always run away. Avalim kinu b'bayis. But if they make a nest in a house, or v'chenyone hardesios, the doves, the Herodian doves, normally grow amongst people and stay with people. They're not wild. Patr mishiluach. There's no obligation to send them away. Of tame, if it's a non-kosher bird, patr milishaleach. You're exempt from sending it away. What happens if you have of tame rovets al beitze of tahar? You have a non-kosher bird, but it's sitting on a nest of kosher eggs. The eggs of a kosher bird. Or, tzar, a kosher bird, rovets al beitzei of tameh. is on top of the eggs of non-kosher pigs. Patim l'shaleach, you're exempt from sending them away. Kora, this is a bird which it's a non-kosher bird, but it normally sits on any eggs, not only on its own eggs. So zachar, if it's male, Rabbi Eliezer Machayev, Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayev, and chachamim ptotrin, chachamim say you are exempt from shiluach hakem. Okay, starting the Gemara here. Rabbi Avin v'Rav Meisha.
When it says you're exempt, it's saying you don't have to, but does it mean that you can? It seems like it's telling you you're not obligated to.
Yeah.
But if you want to have the zechut,
I don't think it would be a zechut. It wouldn't be the mitzvah.
Huh?
Not the mitzvah.
The whole mitzvah is exempt.
It's not the mitzvah. There is no zechut in it.
The language is not so clear.
I think exempt means there's no obligation. It's not the mitzvah.
But Rabbi, I've seen it that the wild bird come in and wants to break the egg of another, and they want to eat it. And, you know, so that one you could chase it away.
Yeah.
I think it's a mitzvah to chase it away, rather than sitting on it. Okay.
All right. Says the Gemara, Rav Avin Rav Meisha. Rav Avin Rav Meisha explained these Mishnayos. They said Chadam once said Kol Echad Itznam, whatever the Mishnah says, Baratz of Chutz Laretz. That it applies in the land of Israel and outside the land of Israel and these prakim. Shalol etzorech, it's not necessary because, of course, these are not obligations of the ground. Only the obligations of the ground we would think only apply in Israel. Levan Rav Eshes Aggetz, the only exception is where we do need it. Where we did need it was Rav Eshes Aggetz. Now, Fugman Rabbi Loi to exclude Rabbi Loi, because as we remember, Rabbi Loi compares Rav Eshes Aggetz to Truma. And he said, Rav Eshes Aggetz, you know, he says, Rav Eshes Aggetz doesn't apply outside of Israel, just like Truma doesn't apply outside of Israel. So for that, we need a Mishnah, someone to say that they think that it does apply outside of Israel. The other one said, no, wherever the Mishnah will say that these laws apply when we have a Beis HaMikdash, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's really not necessary. Why would we think that they only apply when we have a Beis HaMikdash? These aren't laws of Karbanos. Levad me'osav esbenot. The only time where it was necessary was when we learned that the law of you can't kill the mother and its child on the same day applies even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Because there, Sakatayat HaChamina, there I would have thought to say, Holu binyana dekachim ksiv, since that verse is written together with all the laws of Karbanos, I would have thought, Bizmad di kachim ninuk, that it's a law of Karbanos, it only applies when we have Karbanos. Bizmad aleka kachim, at the time when we don't have Karbanos, lo ninuk, we wouldn't do it. Kamashwan, that's what we needed to teach you. All right, that's what they said. However, Vitzarvayu Ami, but they both said, wherever the Mishnah has to say that the law applies to Chulin and Muktashim, or it doesn't apply to Muktashim, Litzorech, there it was needed. Levad miGidanasha, with the exception of Gidanasha, where the Mishnah said Gidanasha applies to Chulin and to Muktashim, because that's Pshita, of course. Mishum deiktash, because you made it holy, Pakale Yisr Gidanasha, Minei, with that prohibition of Gidanasha removed from it, there I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that it applies to Muktashin. However, the Gemara said, one second, really? V'lavu kimnu, but didn't we say that that part of the Mishnah is talking about Bevlados Kachim, talking about a child of a Karban? Umay Taima, what was the reason, Ukimna, that we said it's talking about a child of a Karban? Lavishim Lekashalan, isn't it because we had a problem? Lo Lisni, we shouldn't have mentioned it because it's so obvious. It's so obvious. The Gemara says, no, meikara nami lo tikshilach, it wasn't even a question. I didn't tani litzorech, tani nami shlo litzorech. Since there are some things that we do need to speak about, it also mentions it in some places where we don't need to speak about them. And really, normally when it says b'chulin uv'muktashin, it's sort of obvious and it's not necessary. Okay, Bezat Hashem will continue tomorrow with the law of Shiluach HaKen, Bechulin, Avalo B'Mukdashin.